On this new morning, at the beginning of this new week, we gather here in this sanctuary, this place that is bathed in beauty and in light. We gather around this baptismal font. The cooling, refreshing waters have been poured, and we gather in peace, at peace with one another, at peace with ourselves, and at peace with God, who says, "You are my beloved." May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Would you please stand and join me in the call to worship? Come, let us worship God.
In whom we find our comfort and our strength.
Come, let us sing God's praises.
For the abundance of blessings in our lives.
Come, let us pray to God. Come trusting in the everlasting God whom we worship now. Let us pray with joyful hearts, with gratitude in our souls, and with lips that are willing to worship you. We gather here today, God, over all in all. We pray you, God, to hear our praise and our thanksgivings. We pray you, God, to guide us with your wisdom and your love. We pray you, God, to restore our weary souls, to lift us up, and to give us renewed faith and strength for the journey that is our lives. God, be with us, we pray, and accept our praise and our prayers, and touch and bless us in this time of worship. And on leaving this place, may we be ready to love you and to serve you, and to bring glory and praise to your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning, and a very warm welcome into the house of God. If you are visiting with us today, we bid you an extremely warm welcome, and we invite you to sign the blue friendship pads, which should be at the end of most pews. Please do sign these so that we know that you've been here, and we do ask that you know that you are indeed most welcome in this place of praise and of prayer. Following morning worship this morning, there will be further fellowship through in Ehrman Hall. Please do join us there for further fellowship. And also, as I point over to this corner here, these flowers are in honor of Annette Anderson. Annette, we wish you a very, very happy 85th birthday. 85 years young. Congratulations, Annette. I draw your attention to a number of items in the bulletin. You'll notice that we're looking for Sunday school teachers. Now, Sunday school these days is really, really hard. I do not say otherwise. I know that we're struggling in this country, we're struggling throughout the world to get our young people engaged in the faith. And you know, my friends, we are living through very troubling times, and I think part of the trouble is that we have taken our eyes off Jesus, as I said last week. I think we have allowed our children to be involved in so many other things, and that the last thing on their agenda, and the last thing on the parents' agenda, is Sunday school. And yet, really, you know, if we don't teach them young, how are they going to know? How are they going to know about God's love? Where are they going to find their sure foundations? If you feel at all moved to help in Sunday school, I would urge you, please, to contact me as soon as possible. Whether you've already taught before or not taught before, please, I would urge you to let me know so that we can work together to try and work out how we reach our young people, reach their parents, and remember that what we're reaching them with is the good news of Jesus Christ that I think is the hope of our world, as it has always been, and it certainly is today. So we're thinking about our youngsters. We're thinking about our young people who are going back to school, and many are going to go back to school without just basic necessities. And so we think about the young people that come to our food pantry, and believe me, sadly, there are many. If you're able to help, there's a list of items. Shelley has drawn together this list that really is emerging of the needs of all the schools that really are young people in the pantry come. These are the schools that they go to. Does that make sense? Just when you're shopping, could you buy extra school supplies? There we go. That makes it simple. On a much sadder note, I know that many of you got my message that went out on Friday as we learned of the passing of our friend and our fellow pilgrim, Barb Rowe. Barb, you know, when Paul said that, you know, we have to fight the fight of faith and run the race that is set before us, Barb ran that race with grace and with dignity and with a lot of color and a lot of laughter and brought a lot of joy. And so we give thanks to God for Barb's life, and we also give thanks that after a very long life, Barb is now at peace. And that's what her family would want. When we die in the loving embrace of God, we die only into another life, a new life, a new beginning. And we rejoice today that for Barb, a new chapter has begun as she's reunited with God and also with Ed and Davy. So we give thanks for Barb's life, and there will be a service here in this sanctuary on Wednesday. There will be a visitation from 9:30 until 10:30, and then Barb's memorial service will take place at 10:30, and then there will be a celebration in Ehrman Hall after we have worshipped here and given thanks for Barb. These are all the announcements I have. I simply ask you to look at the bulletin. There are plenty more announcements. Please do look at these announcements at your leisure. Thank you.
God's love has been poured into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. Confident in God's grace, please join in our prayer of confession. God, eternal and ever-loving, we turn to you to praise and to pray. Listen to our confession as we acknowledge that we do not live perfect lives. opportunities that present to do good, and we pass them by. Promises are made, and we break them. Intentions are good, but we fail to follow through. Merciful God, heal what is broken in our lives, forgive what is wrong, and lead us into new beginnings. Set our lives upon Jesus, that we may follow where he leads, and live in ways that bring healing, wholeness, and peace to our troubled world. As we pray in silence, may we listen for your voice and be ready to answer your call to faithful living and courageous actions. Amen. The assurance of God's grace is declared in the name of Jesus Christ. We accept God's forgiveness, confident that in dying to sin, Christ raises us to new life. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel.
Let us pray. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray to you, knowing that in his name we are forgiven of what is wrong in our lives, and the breath that is your breath has blown away all our sin and our shortcoming, our imperfection, our fear, our failure. Breath of God, blow into our lives. Speak to us through your word. Illuminate the path before us. Still our troubled souls. Grant to us your peace and your wisdom and your guidance, that we may truly live to the glory and the praise of your name. Amen. Who can tell me what day it is tomorrow? Don't say Monday. Hands up if you're saying Eclipse Day. Have you heard about it? Just in case you hadn't, I thought I would tell you about the eclipse. What happens at the eclipse? Teddy, I'm so glad you're here. So all I would ask you, Teddy, is say it in language that I will understand.
So the moon moves in front of the sun, blocking out its light.
Wow. The moon moves in front of the sun and blocking out its light. So that means that when it's daylight, it's going to look like someone has flicked a switch and it's going to be dark. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? It's pretty incredible that we live in such a wonderful, amazing, fascinating world. And I've got something really funny to tell you. Some people think this is all by accident. Can you believe it? Can you? You know, thinking about the sun and the moon, and they're going to line up, and it's going to cause darkness to descend. That's incredible. And as I understand it, and if you really want to really understand it, speak to Teddy afterwards. But as I understand it, that just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit closer, if we were a tiny bit closer to the sun, we would fry. And if we were just a little bit further away, we would freeze. But just by accident, we're just the right distance away. Well, of course, I don't believe it's just by accident. I believe there's a wonderful, amazing creator who loves this world and who has made it in all its wonder and in all its beauty and has enabled us to sustain life here. But the eclipse, I wonder if any of you have got yourself prepared. Who's prepared for the eclipse with these glasses? No? Well, it's just as well, because apparently they don't work. But so you're meant to put these glasses on, and you're able to look, because you've got to be very careful, so please be very careful tomorrow, because the sun will be very, very bright. So girls, make sure that mummy has you inside, look at it from a distance, don't look straight at the sun, or you'll be blinded. It's not a good thing. So you're meant to be able to look at the eclipse through these glasses, but as I say, they don't work. And I decided to put the glasses on. And I put them on, and I realized that I can't see a thing. Not a thing. Not a thing. Except I can actually, here's a scary thought, I can see my reflection in the glasses. That's a scary thought. But I cannot see a thing. All I can see is darkness. Complete and utter darkness. Do you know, boys and girls of all ages, sometimes I think when we look at the world, all we see is darkness. All we see is what's bad. But really, this is a beautiful world. And I think we should take off our dark glasses and open our eyes and see all the goodness in the world. See the goodness of these flowers that are so beautiful and so vibrant that God gave to us to enjoy. To see the goodness of a life that is celebrated in these flowers, 85 years long, Annette, a life well lived in the service of God. Sometimes we do only look at the darkness in the world, and we cannot see beyond it, and we can't see beyond the darkness in people, what's bad in people. But we need to take our glasses off and see that there's goodness, a lot of goodness, in other people. Do you know, I'm going to read a story that possibly you've heard many times before about Joseph, and I'm going to read that in a couple of moments. And it's about Joseph, and the long story short is that Joseph's brothers really let him down. They sold him. They sold him, and off he went into slavery and had to live with people that he didn't know. And he had a terrible life. And many years later, his brothers come back because they're hungry. And Joseph's now living in a place where there's a lot of food. And the brothers come and they speak to Joseph. And you know, Joseph could either see these brothers as just bad. He could just look at the darkness and say, no, I don't like you, and what you did to me was really bad. He had a choice. But he looked at them, and instead of seeing what was bad and dark in them, what he saw was what was good. They were his brothers, and he loved them, and he cared for them and their father, and he wanted to feed them. He looked for what was good. And he did what was good. And I think we need to take off our dark glasses and look for what is good in this world. Not for what is dark and bad. And look for what is good in other people. And even more importantly, I think what we're challenged to do is do what is good. To bring light and hope and love to our world. Amen. Thank you. Hands up if you have a brother or a sister, one or more. Siblings. Hands down. Siblings. We're going to read the story about Joseph with his siblings, with his brothers. And as is often the case within sibling relationships, it can be a kind of love, and maybe not quite as far as hate, but it can be a difficult relationship. I have an older brother. He's 6 years older than I am, and he was always, always stronger than I was. He always won. He just always won. No matter how much I tried to fight him, he always had the upper hand. And as a child, I remember that he was so much taller than me that if I was trying to sort of wrestle with him, he would just put his hand on my head. And I would be flailing, trying to reach him, and he got a great kick out of that. But there were times when actually we got on really well together, and we would often play together. We would play cards together, we would play games together, and one day we decided to be really resourceful, and it was raining outside, and we decided we would play 10-pin bowling inside. So we set up our skittles outside his bedroom door. And we had a long hallway, and so we were throwing balls along this hallway, knocking down the skittles, and you know what happened? Smack into the door went the ball. And here was this black mark scored across what was really quite a newly painted door. Of course, it was my brother's idea that, well, we could perhaps get an eraser and rub out the black mark. And as we started to rub the black mark, what happened? It got bigger and bigger. But then, some of the paint started to peel off. And it was my idea that if we just peeled off the paint where the black mark was, then everything would be just fine and dandy. So we started to peel, and before we knew where we were, the entire face of the door lifted off almost in one great big peel of paint. How on earth were we ever going to hide it? Have you ever, and we didn't, by the way, we didn't hide it, but have you ever had that experience of where something starts very small, it doesn't really seem very much, and you try to make it better, and in actual fact, in trying to make it better, it just makes it worse and worse. I'm going to tell this story against myself. This happened many years ago when I was doing an exchange down in Memphis, Tennessee. And I had gone to do the exchange, and I just had T-shirts and shorts or a couple of blouses with which I could wear my clerical collar. Now, no one told me that Tennessee in the middle of July is really quite warm and you really don't want to be wearing a clerical collar. So I decided that I would go out one Saturday and I would buy myself a new blouse. One good blouse to have while I was on the exchange. I put it on the Sunday morning, and I have to tell you, Sunday mornings for a pastor are difficult times. They're very difficult. Time seems to run away from us on a Sunday morning. So I put on the blouse, and before I could even get out of the door, I spilled something on it. So I thought, get a sponge, get some cold water, rub it, see if that will take the stain out. So instead of taking the stain out, it kind of spread the stain a little bit. And not only now did I have a stain, but I had a wet patch, which was in that really unfortunate place of right underneath my armpit. It's not a good look. So I then decided, well, I needed to try and dry off very quickly. So I went outside in the nice Memphis sun, and I stood like a scarecrow facing up to the sun, hoping that I could dry myself out, and that wasn't happening, and time was running out. So I then decided that I would go in, and now I'm living in someone else's house, I would try and find a hairdryer, and I would try and dry it with the hairdryer, but you know, I'm not going to rake through someone's closets. I couldn't find the hairdryer, I was running out of time, I was feeling particularly resourceful, so I turned on the broiler, and I put the blouse underneath the broiler. I had a stain that was spreading, a wet armpit, and a yellow-tinged burn to the blouse. It just went from bad to worse. Do you ever have times like that? Never, never. It just goes from bad to worse. Something starts out really small, and it just mushrooms and it snowballs, and before you know where you are, it's out of control. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? Do you ever feel that what's happening in our world is starting off very small? Oh, it'll be okay. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. And then, bit by bit, things start to get out of control. Things really start to get out of control. Last week in Charlottesville, we saw swastikas waving. My friends, that is out of control. That is out of control. I saw something recently that a friend had sent to me and had sent to a number of people. And it is a clip from a movie. I think it's Band of Brothers. I'm not sure. But I was transfixed by this. And the caption said, "Let's be under no doubt. This is what happens when the swastika is in control." And it's a newsreel of the American soldiers going in to a concentration camp at the end of the war. And the look of complete and utter horror and disbelief on their faces when they see these men who are emaciated with their blue and white suits on, staring out of eyes that are haunting. This is what happens, and let's be under no doubt, when evil is out of control. There are many ways when it feels like life is out of control, and what started off as a little problem grows and grows and grows. I'm going to read from the story of Joseph this morning. And in that story itself of Joseph and his brothers and his father, what starts as a little bit of sibling rivalry, of Joseph's brothers not liking him because Joseph's a dreamer and Joseph's the favorite, what starts out as a little bit of sibling rivalry that we would say, it's okay, he'll get over it, it'll be fine, it grows to a deep hatred of Joseph, to the point where the brothers sell him into slavery, and in actual fact, what the brothers wanted to do was just kill him, just be done with him. But Judah says, no, let's not go that far. One good brother saying, enough's enough. But Joseph's life spirals out of control. And it all comes because of rivalry and hate. Hatred and rivalry unchecked. Joseph is sold into slavery. And while he is in slavery, he continues to have his dreams. And when he is imprisoned by Pharaoh, he then has this dream that there's going to be a famine in the land. And Pharaoh is delighted to know in advance. And so Joseph is honored and celebrated in Egypt. The slave rises through the ranks because he saves the Egyptian people from being starving. And he's risen through these ranks. And then his brothers come from the land where there is famine and there is starvation, and no one thought to save food for later. And the brothers come to speak to Joseph, not realizing who he is. Imagine you are Joseph, and you've been sold into slavery by your siblings, and you have had terrible evil visited upon you. How would you feel about your siblings? Can we show the same grace that Joseph shows? Let's read the Word of God as it is found in Genesis chapter 45. The brothers are coming to visit Joseph. They're coming to ask for food, for salvation, for help. We're reading from verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there will be 5 years more, in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you for a remnant on the earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord over all his house and ruler all over the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children's children, as well as your flocks and your herds and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly honored I am in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then Joseph fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and he wept, and while Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers, wept with them, and after that, his brothers talked with him." Amen, and thanks be to God. A teacher was teaching her Sunday school children about the Ten Commandments, and they got to the commandment about honor thy mother and thy father. And the teacher was talking to them about what that meant, about how you treated your mum and dad, to treat them with honor and to treat them with respect and kindness and love. And after she had finished speaking about honoring their mother and their father, the teacher said to the boys and girls, which commandment tells us how to treat our brothers and our sisters? And one wee boy put up his hand and he said, "Thou shalt not kill." That kid's onto something. Thou shalt not kill. Aren't we all brothers and sisters? Aren't we all God's beloved children? Aren't we all one in God's sight? And isn't that child onto something when he says, "Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill." Wherever we look, we see people killing. If not killing physically, certainly killing spirits. I stand here again after another week of death and destruction and violence and terror and hatred and evil. And still we have not learned our lesson. Thou shalt not kill. Joseph in this story is known as a dreamer of another world, a dreamer of a better world, a dreamer of the future. I don't know about you, but I like to think of myself as a dreamer. Hands up if you're a dreamer. Yeah? John Lennon would be happy. He was a dreamer and he said, I'm not the only one. And he's not. We dream of a better world for our little ones and for ourselves. We dream of a time when we can recognize in each other that we are indeed all beloved children, no matter who we are or what we've done or the color of our skin or where we come from or whatever religion we profess or not. I dream of a better world. I dream of a world where there is peace, where our young people can grow up happy and carefree and not afraid of what tomorrow is going to bring. You know, it used to be that breaking news was once a week or once a month. Now it's once every 5 minutes. And we're weary and we're tired and we're dreaming. Remember the man who stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and said, I have a dream. Martin Luther King Jr. And here we are all these years later and we're still dreaming. Dreaming of a time when all our children can live at peace. When everyone in this nation and beyond can be treated with dignity and respect and can grow up happy and unafraid. If you're a dreamer, you join people like Martin Luther King Jr. Do you know that that speech almost never was spoken? He ran out of something to say and there was a minute or two left and his script was done. And Mahalia Jackson shouted to him from the corner, Martin, tell them about your dream. Tell them about your dream. And then some of the greatest words in the history of this nation were spoken because he had a dream and he gave his life in trying to bring that dream about. Joseph had a dream. He dreamt that there was going to be famine, and because he did that, he saved a nation because they were able to store up enough food to see them through their famine. But Joseph had another dream. And that dream was, as my title says, the possible dream. He had a dream that he would be reconciled with his family. And when his family stood before him, his brothers who had sold him into slavery, Joseph made that dream come true of reconciling himself with those who had only wanted to bring evil and hatred upon him. He reconciled himself with them. And he had a dream for his family. I want you to come and live here, he says. I want you to be near me. I want you to have land. I want you to have your flocks. I want your children and your children's children to be well. He had a dream of reconciliation. And he enacted that dream by showing grace and love to these people who only wanted evil to come upon him. And that dream of reconciliation became possible because he made it possible. He put his dream into action. He was reconciled with his loved ones. He showed them grace. He gave them hope and a new beginning. All of us within our hearts harbor a dream that this world can be better, that we can create a more loving, just, fair, equal society. That dream is possible. If we stand with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and follow His teaching, we can make that dream possible by showing the same grace and love and care that Jesus Christ has shown to us. Our dream is possible. But God in Christ invites us to bring that dream about by being faithful and by being courageous and by being loving and by showing grace and by breaking down barriers and walls that divide, and by reaching out to our brothers and sisters. For under God, we are one. One beloved people. All beloved children. And the dream of our living together in peace will only come to pass if we lay hold of the teaching of Jesus Christ and if we follow in his ways and show the same grace and love that he showed, then the dream is possible. The dream is possible. Amen. And thanks be to God. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Would you please greet one another in peace? Our song of response can be found in the bulletin. It's a new song, I know, but it is to a tune which I am sure you will recognize. It's the tune that we usually sing, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. And this hymn is, I Have a Dream, a Man Once Said. invite the ushers to now uplift the offering.
Thank you.
Please be seated. You know, I love being your pastor, but what I really love about being part of this family of faith is we have terrific music, don't we? We really do have terrific music, so thank you to our musicians, to all of them. And thanks also to Georgia Hall, who has Music and More. That the finale was on Friday night, and it was lovely, you know, to be in this sanctuary and to listen to what is beautiful. So often we only hear and see what is not very beautiful, but thank you, Georgia, for another fantastic season of Music and More. God does indeed delight our senses, fill our hearts with joy. Let us turn to God with our prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Dear God, we turn to you with our prayers, and we lift our eyes above what can be the ugliness of this world, or more correctly, the ugliness of the ways in which we sometimes behave as your beloved children, wayward and misguided. Forgive us, God. As we stand together as members of this nation, lift our eyes heavenwards tomorrow. And as we watch carefully the solar eclipse, remind us that this is a beautiful and a wonderful and very carefully designed and planned world, and that you made this world in all its beauty and in all its rich variety. You created that we may enjoy. God, as people lift their eyes heavenward tomorrow, we pray that they may be reminded of you, that you are God over all, God the Creator, and in Jesus Christ, God the Savior, the Redeemer, the God who loved this world so much that you would come into it and walk this earth and share our pain and our joy. God, we lift our eyes to you. We worship you and we praise you for all of life and for this world and for our faith and for Jesus Christ and for all that makes life beautiful and wonderful and enjoyable. Thank you for love given and received within families and friendships. Thank you, God, for the memories of those who have gone before us, whose faith and whose love and whose laughter continue to inspire us. Thank you, God, for the precious gift of life and for the challenge and the joy of living in these times. So having lifted our eyes heavenward to remember you, direct our eyes, God, back to earth and to the path that you lay before us, that you ask us to walk with courage and with faith, dreaming a dream that this world can be better, that peace can descend, that we can find a way to live together, respecting and loving one another. God, help us to catch a vision of your dream, of your kingdom coming here on earth and your will truly being done. And remind us, God, that you invite us to be the ones who bring the dreams to pass by our faithfulness and our courage, by our love and by our care for all. God, hear our prayers. And so, God, hear our prayers now. For those who have lost loved ones this week, who grieve and who mourn, for those who live filled with fear and terror, for those who struggle to make their way through each day, carrying burdens that are greater than we can even imagine. Hear our prayers for healing and wholeness, for peace and for unity, and for your kingdom, really, God, to come here on earth. And hear us now as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now go into the world with wisdom that is of God and with courage that is of God to achieve the kingdom goals of God that are peace on earth and love towards all people. And now may you go in peace, at peace with one another, at peace with God, at peace with yourself. Go into the world to love and to serve God, and as you go, may the blessings of God, The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and rest and remain with you, with those whom you love and with all God's children everywhere, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen. Peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.